Dean Smith joins us on Sports Byline. Of course, Dean became the head basketball coach at the University of North Carolina at the age of 30, and he ran that program for 36 years. He is the winningest coach in NCAA basketball history with 879 victories. And he has a brand new book out called The Carolina Way, Leadership Lessons from a Life in Coaching. And the preface is written by Roy Williams, the current basketball coach at the University of North Carolina. He says, Coach Dean Smith is the greatest on-the-court basketball coach there ever was. And in his dealings with his players and others off the court, he was equally effective. Everyone who reads this book and comes to understand the things that Coach Smith taught and why he taught them will benefit in a significant way. When it came to building a team and getting a group of divergent personalities that span four distinctly different decades to unite for a common cause, he's the best ever. Those are pretty good words, Dean.
You got to remember, I hired him out of high school coach for 10 years, so he was my assistant, so he had to be nice to me.
One of the things that I've noted with books that have come out from coaches that also deal with business and life is that there seems to be a connection between coaching and the lessons there and life and business. Why is that, Dean?
Well, of course, I didn't think so. It started, Ron, when Jerry Bell, a business school professor who was the head of the faculty for Young Presidents Organization worldwide, asked me to speak in St. Moritz, Switzerland in the summer of 1990, and he said, I'm titling your talk to be Coaching as Management. And I said, wait a minute. My guys want to be there. Some poor guy wants to go home at 5 o'clock. I said, change it to say coaching is management, ? And so I don't, that's why I would never have attempted this book. But Dr. Bell really insisted that we do this. All I have to do is say, here's how we build our team. And then he comes back with a business perspective to that. And then John Kilgore, a very good writer who, I'm a math major. I talk to him and then correct everything he writes. But he suggested having players, they would have a perspective on whatever thing we were talking about, and that may make it easier reading to listen to. All right, here's what we did at North Carolina I hope to be a very good team. And then to go with the business, and then to go with what the players thought.
Yeah, that's what I like about this book, the practicality of it. It's not only your philosophy that a lot of people probably would not maybe be able to understand because of the technicality of it, but you bring it down to the individual player and then how it can be used also in business. And that's an interesting approach.
Well, I hope it can. Of course, as Dr. Bell said, maybe it will help some parent work with a family, the same idea. Because we talk about the Carolina family, and obviously it's a true family, where a young man try to praise behavior you want to see repeated. That's obvious, but it's important to the college-age youngster, and it's probably even more important to somebody in the seventh grade when they mess up. So you wait till they do something right and then really praise them.
Dean, talk to me, if you will, a little bit about the people that influenced you in developing your philosophy of both about coaching and about dealing with people.
Well, number one, as far as dealing with people, I was taught we're all on the same level before our Creator, and all humans. And I think it's so important. And my dad was a high school coach in Emporia, Kansas, football, basketball, baseball, track. And I watched the World War II guys came back to see him. Now, I'm not that old, but I was about 9 or 10. And I remember one who had his arm shot off, and they were laughing about the old times, and Dad had written him. And I think, that's when I made up my mind to be a coach, because you have that close relationships. We've continued with through the guys that played for me 36 years ago. We've had fun getting together. They always remember the bad stuff, when I run them out of practice or make them work hard. But deep down, they really enjoy that part. I bet, Ron, you could look back to your schooling and some teacher was really hard on you, but you probably appreciated it later. And that's the way we really attacked it. But I said in the book, we're a benevolent dictator. We really, what's best for the team during the season goes, and out of season, what is best for the individual. And that's why 9 of our players in those 36 years went pro early. And I thought, it was to their benefit. We had a deal, though. They had to come back and get their degree, and six of those nine have their degree, and over 96% of our players graduated, and almost 36% went on for graduate degrees or professional school. So we had a good run.
One of the things that I find fascinating about your approach is the humanistic approach certainly does transcend the different decades. And when you go through decades, you get different philosophies. I think kids have changed a great deal today. How were you able to make it work, say, compared to the first decade to the fourth decade?
I think human nature is pretty much the same. I do admit that the players we coached in the 90s really were more worldly, with the TV, movies, internet, all that, mm-hmm. than they were in the 60s. But deep down, they all wanted to play, and that's the power your coach has over the players. You control that. But deep down, I think they wanted to be a team. And I honestly think, as you say, it's changed. But, that's one great thing about athletics. They all, think the world of their teammates. What I like to see was, usually when somebody got married right after college, some of his ushers or somebody would be pretty much part of the team, and I love to see that.
One of the things that you did is that you gave each team each year the same three goals. Can you talk about those three?
Well, the reason we do, each one, I was trying to think where I picked up something, but I knew the game had to be unselfish. You have to be unselfish to play the game of basketball. And we were, but you build that through practice. But we constantly harped on the being an unselfish player, that the team wins. And that's why I tell them, if you win, the team wins. If we lose, you do what I say, the coach loses it. And then the next thing is to give effort, because they can control their effort. Any player can, and we catch them not giving complete effort. They come sit down on the bench for a long time, and that really encourages effort. And then, of course, you must be a smart team, execute, and that means our practices are highly organized, and we want to do it the right way and get a good shot. And don't worry about winning. That's the key. We don't talk about winning, just possession by possession. Did we get the shot we wanted, or did the other team, we made it tough for them to get a good shot? And then I didn't even watch the scoreboard in the first half hardly at all. Coach Williams, I know, doesn't at all, but because you're just watching, what are you executing? Ron, you may play golf, but if you had a four-footer or a five-footer for a couple bucks on 18, you would try to, gosh, I got to make this, instead of going through your ritual the same way and the same thing. So we don't discuss winning, but I did when we were as coach of the 76 Olympic gold medal team, but I didn't dwell on it. I said, hey, we're here for 6 weeks practice and 10 days in the Olympics to win the gold medal back from the Soviets, and that's the only time we really mentioned that.
We only have 90 seconds before we have to break here, but over the years, did you find that there were kids that would challenge this system, and how does anybody deal with a challenge if you're in an authority position to your leadership?
Well, I think you're right. I do have power. But as long as they know you really care about them as individuals, which I said, they get that feeling away from the court. But on the court, it's what's best for the team. And sure, some of them have a problem with that. But again, simple is it's a great learning experience to sit on the bench instead of playing. And then we also had a walk-on or non-recruited players on every one of our teams, and they helped build the team chemistry as well. So we were fortunate the university attracts good people. I know that. And I mean, they're serious about their schoolwork. Not all of them are geniuses, but they're serious about their schoolwork and really worked at it. And that's why we had the graduation rate at 96-some%.
Dean Smith has joined us. He has written a third book. It's called The Carolina Way, Leadership Lessons from a Life in Coaching. And by the way, we're going to make it a selection of the month on our Sports Byline Book Corner. We'll continue across the country and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network, the Internet, Sirius Satellite Radio. We've got you on Sports Byline.